just want to make sure everybody has a handout. There's a handout for the Shia. This one, oh. Sorry? Yes, like that? Whoops. Okay. We'll get it. Fine. Okay. There are handouts, so on the Shia, so. Before we can start the Shia, I just want to. Ooh, I'm sorry. I think it needs to be a bit further back, actually. Just a little bit further back. Right now. That's better. Okay. I want to express my thanks to Rav Malinowitz and Barry Stern, Moshe Pitzala, and all the other helpers who put this Shia together over the winter. It's been a tremendous schus to give the shiurim here, and I heard that many people also were listening to the link afterwards to pick up the shiur. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm thanking for the transmission and for the recording which is made. For the moment, this will be the last shiur. I'm leaving for the States on next Motzi Shabbos for 2 weeks, and then it's Pesach. If there is an interest in having a shiur on Shabbos HaGadol, Motzi Shabbos, on the Haggadah Shel Pesach, could I ask you to be in touch either with Reb Ari Stern or with Moshe, and we'll try and put it together for the it'll be late, but maybe something on the Haggadah to explain the Haggadah in detail. That's what we thought of doing. This Shia is on. This Shia is on Shoshanas Yaakov. The Choyze mi Lublin once explained that all the parshias and the Yom Tovim of the winter are wearing a fur coat. They're all wrapped up. And unless you take the coat off, you'll never properly discover exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Let's explain. Yaakov with Esav, parshas of the Nezid Adoshim. What exactly is happening here? Is it a swindle? Is he taking advantage of a starving person? What does it mean that he's switching for the Bechayra? Unless you look at the Mefarshim, then it doesn't make sense, and you don't really get the point of what the Parsha is going on about. Yaakov with the Nekudim Akudim and the flock. What's happening here? Is he swindling Lavan? Unless you look at the Mefarshim, you don't see it. Yosef. Yosef was Yefei Toyav, a Toivas Mare, and he was looking after his hair. So you might say he was a Chasar Lev. He was just a person interested in his looks. The Zohar brings down, from the time that Yosef had any intelligence until the day he died, Lo Posko Mimena Ruach HaKodesh. He's a tremendous Ish Kodo Ish Ma'od. Unless you look at the Mefarshim, you don't see this. You look into the depth. Chanukah is a major casualty. Because you might imagine that the Greeks, let's say the other side, the Chashmonaim were military strategists, and they were able to go into battle and conquer them. And that's not the case at all. They were Kohanim. Kohanim with Amud of Torah behind them. Unless you understand it, you might think that they just were successful in battle. It's much more depth behind that. If I can make a suggestion, the biggest casualty of all is Purim. Because Purim is so much hidden. It has so much ability to be. You get the wrong point. You don't see the wood for the trees. You don't understand what is going on behind the whole scene with Esther. Maybe you'll just say that Esther had a pretty face. And maybe you'll say that Mordechai, the Gemara has a suggestion that Mordechai brought all the problems on Klal Yisrael, because he wouldn't mishtachav et ha'homon, and that brought all the problems. You might get the wrong end completely. And just to prove the point, I don't think there's any Yom Tov at all which has as much shtick and as much distraction as Purim has. And you get the wrong message. You don't come out with a clear point of what exactly is going on Purim and and the Megillas Esther. It's all wearing a fur coat. You have to take the coat off and look behind the depth and see what's happening. The Baal Nisivos, Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva Eger, asked the following question. Why is it, after reading the Megillah, why do we say Shoshanas Yaakov? What's the reason for it? You don't turn around after the Haggadah Shel Pesach and say, Oru Paroi Uboruch Moshe. You don't say that. On Chanukah even, you don't say Boruch HaChashmonaim V'Oru HaYevonim. You don't say that. You don't need to have a description like Shoshanas Yaakov. Says Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, the Nesivos, when he brings down by Purim, there is so many problems of getting the wrong message, of not really understanding what's going on. You need to say Shoshanas Yaakov, because you can come out and you just think it's a nice fairy tale, and it's a story about how a lady who was very beautiful became the queen and saved her people. But you don't get the point. Shoshanas Yaakov brings the point out with great clarity, and you see from Shoshanas Yaakov the themes of what you're supposed to walk away with in Purim. And therefore, that's the purpose of this Shia, to go through each section. You have the handout in front of you. You see, we'll go through Shoshanas Yaakov, Be'ezus Hashem, and we'll learn the themes which are relevant to the Megillah, of what the wood for the trees, to be able to see exactly what is going on here in the Megillah. The tefillah which we say after the Megillah. It's here. You have it on the second page here.
It's only four. You know? It's only from Shin. It's from Alphabet, Asher, and Yin.
Ken, the second part, the Shoshanah in the morning as well. Yeah. We say the Bochra at night, but in the morning, Shoshanah Yaakov is a tefillah which is said straight after the Megillah. You have it on the second page. We learn through Shoshanah Yaakov, and the purpose of this year is to explain what is going on in Shoshanah Yaakov. Let's start. Why are Klal Yisrael called Shoshanas Yaakov? Why don't we just say Bnei Yisrael, So'alo v'Samecha, we're rejoicing and happy. Why do we call Bnei Yisrael Shoshanas Yaakov? What's the point behind this? And the Vilna Gaon in Shir HaShirim explains that the term Shoshana is a reference to Shoshana Bein HaChoichim, a rose amongst the thorns. The meaning is that Klal Yisrael are compared to a rose amongst the thorns, meaning that with all the difficulties which occur inside a garden, all the flowers receive a shtek, receive a prick, and they're all damaged. The only flower which is never damaged inside a garden is a rose. She gets a prick from all the different plants which are around, but the rose remains completely whole. Shoshana Bein HaChoichim, Klal Yisrael, from all the difficulties that they have during Golos, are never blemished in essence from all the persecution that they go through. She is a Shoshana Bein HaChoichim, a rose amongst the thorns. Says the Vilna Gaon, it means, of all the persecution that Klal Yisrael have gone through throughout the generations, throughout the centuries, it's still the same Klal Yisrael which is left after all the persecution, after all the difficulties of Shushan that they went through, the pogroms. You still have Klal Yisrael left as they were originally. When you get married and you say under the chuppah, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvah yisrael v'osa alonu es harusa es v'hitir alonu es hanesu es lonu, it's all from Sinai. When you bench, every time you have bread, hazon es ha'olam kulay b'tuba, it's all from Sinai. Tzitzis, oh, everything's from Sinai. Everything's the same. With all the persecution and everything that's happened in Klal Yisrael, nevertheless, the only thing which is, everything is left. Everything is there. If you think a second, just glance back at all the great world empires that there have been. A Spanish Empire, a Roman Empire, a Greek Empire, British Empire, the Indian Empire. What's left? And how much persecution did they go through? He went through no persecution at all. They just collapsed. And how much persecution has Klal Yisrael gone through? Think to yourself a minute. How many children today are called Paroi? How many children today are called Titus? How many children today are called Antiochus? Yimach Shemoy v'zichro. How many children are called today Hitler? Now, how many children today are called Avrom, Yitzchok, Moshe, Esther, Mordechai? It's all remaining. It's all the same. Nothing has, even though there's been great tzoros in Klal Yisrael, she is a Shoshana Bein HaChoichim. And therefore, the first point of reference to realize when you hear Megillas Esther is, it's Shoshanas Yaakov. Klal Yisrael remained as they were when they came from Sinai, and despite all the persecution and all the difficulties, the first point of praise, remember we say on Purim that the Megillah is like the Hallel. The first point of Hallel, there's no Hallel on Purim, but the Megillah is like Hallel, the Gemara learns out. The first point to realize is that it's Shoshanas Yaakov. All the difficulties that she went through, it's still Klal Yisrael as it was originally meant, even despite all the persecution that she's been through. Tzohalo v'sameicha, she rejoices and happy. V'ra'oisom yachad, when they all saw together, Tcheles Mordechai. Tcheles Mordechai means the royal clothing that Mordechai wore when he took over from Haman. But there's a little reference which we must pick up on. Why does it say in Shoshanas Yaakov, Tcheles Mordechai? What's the message behind Tcheles? As you know, in the tzitzis, there's a thread of blue which is called the Tcheles. The Tcheles, says the Gemara in Menachos, has a certain reference behind it. When you look at the cord of blue, says the Gemara in Menachos, you remember the sea. And when you look at the sea, you remember the sky. And when you look at the sky, you remember Shomayim. And when you think of Shomayim, you think of the Kisei HaKovod. Tzitzis takes you through a process of thought that eventually you reach Hashem, the Kisei HaKovod. Ask Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, why don't we just say that the Tcheles reminds me of Hashem? No. You need to go in stages. And the stages which take you through from blue to the sea, to the sky, to the Kisei, unless you go from stage to stage, you'll never appreciate the point of what does it mean, the importance of the mitzvah. Says Reb Moshe, you need to deduce point after point. Perhaps this is what's being said here in Tcheles Mordechai. Tcheles Mordechai means not just the royal clothing that Mordechai wore, but more than that. It refers to the process of deduction, which we're going to learn in a second. Each stage in the Megillah takes you to another stage, and another. Vashti is gone. Esther takes over. Mordechai is in Shushan. Bigson, and there were stages and stages which all took, Chazal say, over 12 years. We see it in 45 minutes, we hear the Megillah. But there were stages and stages in Hashkoch until eventually Haman is hung and Mordechai takes over. But there were stages in it. The second point which we have to realize when it comes to the Megillah's Esther is you must realize the stages, the different points which take us to eventually to the end of the Megillah. It's not a given story. You must deduce one point on another, because Mordechai was here and Esther was there and Bigson and Seresh and all the different plots which go on inside the Megillah. You need to have what's called Tcheles Mordechai. That's the second point. Let's move on. Chuosom hoyiso lonetzach v'sikvosom b'chol doy v'dor. There Yeshua. What happened to the Klal Yisrael in Shushan, which means all of Klal Yisrael at the time, because as we know, this was Achashverosh ruled the whole world. The power of Achashverosh was like, I don't know, like America is today. Like a world, the world power. Achashverosh was number one, Haman was number two. Now, that salvation that took place in Shushan at the time is forever. Hayisa lo netzach. The story and the whole message of the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael at that time is a permanent lesson for Klal Yisrael forever. Now what is? What is this test case of Bitochen? What's behind? What is Shoshanas Yaakov telling us? That when you hear Megillas Esther, you must realize that it's a test case of Bitochen, of what happened in Shushan is for all times in Klal Yisrael. Now, what I'd like to do, just very briefly, you have there Peirut Yud Gimel in Tehillim, on the second page. Have a look at Peirut Yud Gimel in Tehillim. Let me explain something of what's going on in this Peirut, and then you'll begin to appreciate what does it mean, the test case of Bitochen. We know that there are many prokim in Tehillim which David HaMelech said Beruach HaKodesh. He saw ahead the four periods of Golus. Ad Ono Hashem Tishkocheni Netzach. How long? There were four Ad Onos. There were four periods of Golus in Klal Yisrael. Ad Ono Hashem Tishkocheni Netzach. How long are you going to forget me forever? Refers to Golus Bovel in Babylon. When they went to Bovel, they felt completely abandoned. Can you imagine? Chazal explained, Me'igro Romo Lebira Amikto. Going from a high tower of Bais Rishon, the Beis HaMikdash, to a deep pit of Bovel. They felt completely abandoned. Ad ono tastir esponecha mimeni, how long will you hide your face from me, refers to Esther in Shushan. That's referring to Golas Shushan, which was hastor asponim, which was completely hidden. Ad ono oshis eitzos benafshi, how long will I have to search for eitzos as how to keep your Torah? That refers to Yovon, when they needed skills and tactics, how to keep the Torah, hiding in a cave. That refers to Yovon. Ad ono yorum oyevi oloi, how long will the enemy rise up against me, is the Golas we're going through now, Golas Edoim, the four periods of Golas. Habito, look at me, said Klal Yisrael in Bovel, in the first Golas. She felt like an abandoned wife when the husband doesn't look at her. Klal Yisrael felt Hashem is not looking at me, is taking no notice of me. Habita, look at me. Aneni refers to Esther in the house of Achashverosh. Answer me. Three times Esther said, Keili, 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 Loma Azavtoni. Answer me. Ha'ira Einai, lighten up my eyes, refers to the menorah of Chanukah. Lest the enemy say they have risen up against me, ki emot that I stumble. That's Golos Edoim. Each one is recorded here by David HaMelech. Now, va'ani bechastocho botachti, I trusted Hashem in your kindness. That refers to Golos Bovel. Yogel libi bishuosecho is the simcha of Purim. Oshiro l'Hashem is the hallel of Chanukah. Ki gomal oloi, for he paid me back for waiting for him, is Golas Edom, which is so long. Ki gomal, he'll pay me for waiting. The greatest test of this Golas that we're going through now until the Mashiach comes is the delay, the delay. Gomal oloi, he'll pay me for the delay. Ki gomal oloi, you wait for him, you wait, it'll come. What is the test case of Bitochen here, which we're learning when we say, Chuosam hoyisol ha-netzach by Purim? What is it? It is, look at the Peirik. Klal Yisrael, it was a period of complete hester ponim. You could not discover that Hashem was in Klal Yisrael. Ad ono tastir es ponechom yemeni. What happened? Posuk Dalad. Aneini, Klal Yisrael called out in tefillah, answer me Hashem. It broke away the hester ponim. It broke away the cloak of not realizing that Hashem is with Klal Yisrael. Yogel Libi Bishuosecha was the outcome, that they had tremendous simcha on Purim and they realized that their waiting and their expectancy that Hashem would help them, Shuasam Hayisal Anetzach, is a test case for that Golus. Hester Ponim, Aneini, answer me, which is what Klal Yisrael did, and the result was Yogel Libi Bishuosecha. And Hashem, it turned from being a final solution into a Purim masquerade, the happiest day on the calendar. It's an incredible Yeshua, but it's a test case of Bitochen. The Koyach of Tefillah of Klal Yisrael shifted the whole day from being Loyaleinu Chas V'Sholem an Auschwitz into Purim, the day of complete happiness and simcha. It just switched around. That's a test case. It's showing us, and therefore Shoshanas Yaakov is telling us, don't walk away from Shul. And don't walk away from the Megillah until you realize Chuosam Hayisal Nanetzach. That Yeshua is a test case for all time in Klal Yisrael. Interesting, no? Rabbeisai, that's exactly what we're going through now. It's Iran all over again. It's Persia all over again in our times. The same country is providing the same lo'aleinu chas v'shalom plan of persecution. What's the antidote in our times? Aneini Hashem is the koyach. That's exactly now. It's the same thing. And you'll know when the Mashiach will come, you'll get Bishua Zecha. It's the same thing. That's what we're being shown here. But I'd like to go a little bit further. Number 1C. I'd like to show you a little bit more of what is the test case here. What exactly is going on? Rashi says in the beginning of Perek Gimel of the Megillah, Achar hadvarim ho'ele, says Rashi, after what things? After HaKadosh Baruch Hu had prepared the refuah for Klal Yisrael, now Haman is chosen to become the leader and he's raised up with tremendous prestige and power. But first the refuah is there. Once the refuah, the remedy is prepared, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Makkah. Now this is a very important theme inside every galus of Klal Yisrael, and that's the lesson of Chuasam Lanetzach, to appreciate that every scene of difficulty in Klal Yisrael, before it, Hashem prepares the refuah. Now, certain aspects of the Megillah are apparent to everybody. Everybody realizes Vashti is removed, Esther becomes the queen, Bigson and Seresh plot, and Haman Mordechai hears about it. Those are given cases which most people realize and appreciate. But what I'd like to do tonight is to show you, using the Peirush of the Vilna Gaon on Megillas Esther, to show you a few more incidents where the refuah is before the Makkah, which you might not realize. In the Megillah it says, Kesheves HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchusei Asher Hoya B'Shushan Habiro. That's not really the case. The capital of the Persian Empire at the time was not in Shushan. It was in a place called Elam. The capital was Elam. That was where it was. But at that particular time, Ahasuerus had just come to power. Ahasuerus had an enormous inferiority complex. He came off the street. He was lucky and got a good shidduch and married the daughter of Belshazzar. And he was a non-entity with no yichus whatsoever. That is the reason why he made the banquet of 180 days. Because he wanted to show Yekor Tiferes Malchusai. He needed to show how powerful and how famous and how what a monarch he was. And that's why he made the banquet. He also, says the Medrash, and the Gaon brings this down, he wanted and dreamed of a throne like Shlomo HaMelech. He tried to bring the throne and he couldn't move it. He couldn't even get up on the throne. There was a certain stage which, as soon as he touched it, he was hit by one of the lions or the eagles. He couldn't get on the throne. So he decided he was going to make for himself a throne, exactly a replica like Shlomo HaMelech. But the only place you could manufacture the throne was in a place called Shushan, because that's where the carpenters were. Now when the throne was ready and completed, they couldn't move it. It couldn't be moved. So instead of moving the throne to Elam, all of the capital and all the offices and all the government bureaus and everything moved to Shushan. And that's why it was in Shushan. Why was it in Shushan? Because Ish Haya B'Shushan HaMelech U'Shamay Mordechai, because Mordechai lived in Shushan, says the Gaon, there was an incredible hashkofra that the refuah, you need Mordechai here. And Mordechai was living in Shushan. So the whole idea of the throne and moving because of the carpenters was also that he would be on scene and Mordechai would be there when he was needed, when it came to arouse Klal Yisrael to Tefillah. It's an incredible refuah before the Makkah. And that's why it was in Shushan. A second point, which people do not realize, which is a phenomenal point of importance in the Megillah. Do you remember when Esther, when Vashti refused to come? And the question arose, Ma la'asoit? What do we do? What do we do with Vashti when she wouldn't come? One of the officers turned round, whose name was Memuchan. Vayomer Memuchan lifnei HaMelech. It's not just against the king that Vashti has offended you, but she's offended al kol asorim, al kol ha'amim. It's a disgrace of what Vashti has done. Now, there was a rule in the constitution at that time in Persia. There was a rule. The king was never allowed to decide anything which was relevant to him if it injured his reputation or harmed him. It always had to go to the officers, to the court first. He could never decide anything by himself. Vashti, who had refused to come to the banquet, it was a pegiah, it was an embarrassment for the king himself. According to the constitution, Ahasuerus could not decide what to do. It had to go to the courts. Memuchan came up with the idea and said, no, you should decide. Imam HaMelech Toiv Yetzei Dabar HaMalchus Milfon of Yekolev V'lo Yabo Asher Loi Sovo Vashti Lifnei HaMelech Yiten HaMelech. Change the constitution. Let the king now decide. L'ru'usa HaToiv Mimen. Let the king decide what to do with her and choose another wife. Amazing, what is the most incredible point? V'yita HaVadova Be'inei HaMelech La'asorim. And everybody agreed to this. But this was an incredible thing, because all you had to do is insult the king and the king could immediately off with your head. But they all agreed. It's an incredible nace. The law was now changed that now that Ahasuerus could decide for himself what to do with Vashti. Who was Memuchan? Haman. And now Ahasuerus said, take her away and kill her. In Peyot Zion, after the second banquet, when Ahasuerus came in from the garden and saw Haman lying on top of Esther, and he was in a tremendous, tremendous embarrassment, a malach, Rashi says, came along and held Haman on top of Esther. The king walked in and said, Hagamesh Hamalka Limi Babais, he wants to take my wife as well. Tuluhu Alav, hang him up for 1 minute. The king can never say hang him up. If Haman himself hadn't changed the law that the king himself could now decide matters for himself, when the king turned around and said hang him, it would never have happened, because it's nogea to him, it's relevant to him. But Memuchan had made his own death warrant by changing the constitution, allowing the king now to make this order. Now when he found Haman on top of Esther, he could make that statement and he could say hang him. Incredible refuah before the Makkah here. In other words, the scene has already been set that Haman is going to be on top of Esther and the king is going to be embarrassed and say to him, take him away and hang him, and he will be hung because he had said so, because the law has been changed, the constitution. I mean, unbelievable hashkocha here of refuah before the Makkah. Finally, the Gaon brings down another significant point. Mordechai was known as Mordechai ben Shimi ben Kish ben Yoe Ish Yemini. The Gemara learns out in Megillah that Mordechai comes from the word Mordechai, which is incense, which is really the power of tefillah. Ben Shimi, says the Gemara, Sheshama Hashem Tfilosai. Ben Yoir, Sheheir Pnei Yisrael B'tfilah. Ben Kish, Shehikish, he knocked on the doors of Shomayim. Mordechai was the world expert in tefillah. It's not just that Mordechai was living in Shushan, but this particular great tzaddik had tremendous powers of tefillah. And he was going to be needed when it came to the gezeirah of Lahashmid, La'arog, U'la'abed, to kill all of Klal Yisrael. This koyach of tefillah was what saved Klal Yisrael. That's another refuah before the Makkah. Not just that the throne was there and he moved his capital from Elam to Shushan, which allowed him to be on hand, Mordechai, but even more than that, now there was a man who was there on the spot, ready to show Klal Yisrael what does it mean, the koyach of tefillah, which would bring the whole Yeshua. So we see there are many aspects of the refuah before the Makkah. The point that Shoshanas Yaakov is teaching us is, Tshuasam ha'yisol ha'netzach, you must remember this point. You must come away from the Gilas Esther realizing that the refuah, this Yeshua of always the refuah, the remedy, is before the Makkah, is the way Hashem works. And that's a tremendous comfort in all times, l'netzach, permanently in Klal Yisrael. It's a great, great lesson for us. That's the first, the next point. Shoshanas Yaakov is Shoshana ben Achoichin. Tcheles Mordechai refers to the deduction that you must make, the blue, the sea, the sky, Hashem. Shuasam Hayisan and Etzach tells us that you must realize that the bitochen and the trust and the tefillah that they made, and in particular the refuah before the Makkah, was the main aspect of Yeshua, which is for all. It was like now written in the history books of Klal Yisrael. They have a Yeshua LaNetzach, their bitochen, their tefillah, and Hashem always provides the refuah before the Makkah. Next one. V'sikvosam b'chol doi v'dor. And their tikva was for all times. Meaning, the Yeshua, the way the Yeshua happened in Shushan was for all times. And that hope which they had is for all times. Meaning, you can always hope like that. B'chol doi v'dor. We're being told that. Don't walk away from the Megillah until you realize the tikva, the hope, that through bitochen and through tefillah and the refuah before the Makkah is relevant in every door in Klal Yisrael. Now here's the next point. Lohidia, to make known. In other words, see this in the Megillah. Realize this point in the Megillah. Shekol kaivecho, all who hope in you, lo yevoshu v'leikomu lanetzach, will never be embarrassed and never ashamed. Kol hachoisim boch, all who hope in you. That's a major theme to take out of the Megillah. It means the koyach of tefillah. The koyach of what tefillah can do. Let's explain. First of all, the word choisim boch. You know, in the morning when we say we daven in three times a day, Shema koleinu chus v'rachem aleinu. Chus is an expression of, from the word yachas, connection. Chus v'rachem aleinu, we relate to Hashem. Avinu malkeinu, chus, be kind to us. Be favorable to us because we have a connection with you. That's the meaning of the word chus. Kol hachoisim boch, in particular, all who daven to you. What is the theme of tefillah that we must take out of the Megillah? It's this. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yudalad Omed Aleph, explains the following moshul. Lama tfiloson shel tzadikim nimshelu ka'atar. Why is it that the tefillah of tzadikim is compared to a pitchfork? Says the Gemara, the farmer goes down into the field and sees that the wheat on top is dry. The wheat underneath is wet. He takes a pitchfork and flips it over. He turns over the wheat. Vayeta Yitzchak Lenoichach Ishtoi ki akorohi. Yitzchak and Rivka had no children. Vayeta, they appealed to Hashem. The next pasuk, Bata Rivka, Rivka became pregnant. It flipped over. It turned over. The scene changed from being a couple without children to being with children. The koyach of tefillah is that it has the ability to turn around a situation. Klal Yisrael, standing at the Yam Suf, Hashem turned around and said, Matitzakwala, why are you crying to me? They cried out, and Vayitzaku, and the sea opened. The scene changed. Why is it that every single Yomim Noiroim, there's only one mitzvah which takes up all our time? And that's the mitzvah of tefillah. Why? Why davening? Why don't we learn Torah? Why don't we do chesed? Why is it that tefillah is the main mitzvah when the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Parnosa and the Sifrei, everything is open? Why do we daven? Because there's an ability in tefillah to move and change a situation. It's a pitchfork. It flips over a scene. It changes from one scene to another. Now, turn over, Rabbi Isai, and have a look at the chart which I made for you, and you'll see just how powerful this is. We say on the Megillah, B'na'afaychu. The atar at the top of the page shows you how the pitchfork actually works. We'll go from the right-hand side to the left. Let's start with the second column. The second column. The gezeiros of Haman were Lahashmid, which is number three at the bottom, which means meshumad, to take away the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Laharoig refers to the ruach chayim, the speech. Laabeid refers to the guf, Ushlalam Lavais means the possessions of Klal Yisrael. There were four gezeiras that Haman came up with to Achashverosh. Lahashmid, la'arog, la'abed, ushlalam lavois. The neshama, the ruach, the nefesh, and the kinyonim. Now, Mordechai, in Perek Dalad, told Klal Yisrael the following. He gave orders that Klal Yisrael should do four things. Tzoim is a fast on the guf, which is to metakein, to correct the problems in the physical life of Klal Yisrael. Hesped is wailing, which is the koyach of tefillah. It means the speech, keneged the laharoig. Bechi, crying, you only cry if you're disturbed in your mind, your thoughts. You don't cry because your eyes are painful. You cry because in the neshama, in your machshava, you're upset. Bechi is keneged the hashmid. Sakvo efer is keneged shlolam lovois, the possessions. They took off their clothing and wore sakva efer. Mordechai knew that those four decrees which were made, la'ashmid, la'arog, la'abed, can only be answered by tzoim, ve'hesped, b'chi, sakva efer. Now, jump to Perek Ches, and you'll see how the whole thing just flipped over. La'yehudim hoyso, oiro, v'simcha, v'sosoim, v'ikor. Oiro refers to he'oras ponim, the face, the body, the countenance of a person's face. I don't know if you remember the episode in Shmuel Aleph, when Shaul went into battle and told no one must eat at all until the end of the battle. Yonasan, his son, picked up some honey off the floor of the forest, and the pasuk says, he'oponov, his face lit up, because he ate. When a person is fasting, the light goes out of his face. Oira, in this category, refers to the oponim, on the face, on the guf. Simcha, simchas beis hashoeva. Simcha refers to the singing, meaning the speech. Soson is higher than simcha. Soson is in the machshava, which is keneged the neshama. Yikor means the clothing, to cheles Mordechai, the royal clothing which he wore. So the four flipped over into the four mitzvahs. La'ihudim hoysa oira v'simcha v'sosa. In other words, you have la'hashmid la'arog la'abed is kol la'ihudim. Now the pitchfork comes in and it flipped over completely. La'ihudim hoysa in the same gezeiros. That's why Mordechai ordered four takonas, and we have la'ihudim oira v'simcha v'sosa. It turned over completely. If you want to go a stage further, that's why there were four categories of mitzvahs on Purim. Mishte, you must sit and eat. That's keneged the guf, the food, the body, the nefesh. Yayin is yayin yisamach levav enosh. Simchas yayin, that's keneged the simcha, which is for the ruach. Megillah is Torah, which is keneged the neshama, which is Torah. Torah is the neshama, the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. And we send mishalach monos and matonos lev yayinim. We send gifts to each other, keneged shlolam lovois, sakvo efer. It's unbelievable, no? When you suddenly realize what is going on in the Megillah, everything literally just flipped over completely. And there's the pitchfork. Now, go back to Shoshanas Yaakov. Lahoidia, it must make known, shekol koivecha, anybody who trusts in you, lo yevoishu kol hachoisim boch, because it works. It turns over, the scene changes, and you see on the chart exactly how the scene is a phenomenal change. That is the next point. Shoshanas Yaakov, Tcheles Mordechai, Chuasam is the test case of Bitochen, and Lahoidia is the Koyach of Tefillah. Kol Hachoisim Bach refers to Tefillah. Kol Koyvecho, you hope and trust in Tefillah. Now, let's turn to the end, number 3 on the chart, on the plan. Let's look at the last point, the last theme, which you must take out of Megillas Esther, which Shoshanas Yaakov is telling us. Haman was an Arur, but Mordechai was a Baruch. Arura Zeresh, uberucha Esther. Arurim kol ha'roshoyim, beruchim kol ha'tzadikim. The Gam Chavoyna Zoch. What are we being told here in Megillas Esther? I've gone to Shoshanas Yaakov. And in Shoshanas Yaakov, the last section of Shoshanas Yaakov, the last three lines, all involve one theme. There's something called an Oroh and there's something called a Boruch. What is the meaning of an Oroh and a Boruch? Why are we being told in Shoshanas Yaakov to pick up the message of Oroh and Boruch? What's behind it? The Vilna Gaon I think my boy said it's a mistake. I don't think it's in Parshas would say. It's in Aderes Eliyahu, the Gaon on Torah. It's in Parshas Nitzavim. I don't think it's in Parshas. I think it's a mistake. The Gaon says and explains in Parshas Nitzavim, the definition of Oroh means at the end of the scene, it turns into a curse. And the definition of Boruch is at the end, when you wait patiently, it turns into a Boruch. Let's explain. We must compare the profile between Mordechai and Haman. Let's start with Haman. There was no one in the world, or there was one person in the world, who had more power than Haman, and that was Ahasuerus. But Haman, first of all, was fabulously wealthy. When the Pasuk says, Gidal HaMelech Ahasuerus es Haman, he literally opened up his exchequer and gave an enormous amount of money to Haman. Rashi explains, and the Poshim explained, that Haman became unbelievably wealthy. He had tremendous power. Secondly, he had a throne second to Ahasuerus. So he was number two in the world. He was literally, he had all power. Next, we know that each one of his sons was a ruler in a different country. Like one was in Turkey, one was in India, one was in France, one was all over the world. He had rulers of his family, his 10 sons were all rulers all over the world. They were fabulously powerful. Now, you would give a profile of that man, you would say he's probably one of the most successful, powerful, and prestigious rulers in the world, you would say. And one day, you would walk down the streets of Shushan and turn the corner, and there, at the end of the street, you would be an astonishing sight. You would see this man with his 10 sons swinging in the breeze. It was incredible, from a rope. Incredible. What happened here? What happened here? This incredible man with great power, with, and you see each one of the sons, all on a tree, each one was hanging there and swinging. You think to yourself, why? That is the definition of an Oroh. He was very powerful, but using the Gaon's analysis, it means at the end. At the end, he was a nobody. He was just a carcass on a piece of string. That's a terrible, terrible end. Now turn the other way around. Perhaps there was nobody who was a greater misken, a most unfortunate person in the world, than Mordechai. The Gaon learns out when it says in the beginning of the Megillah, Asher Heglo V'Hoglosa, 3 times he was thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. He came back, and every time he went back again, a real miskin. He had no family. He took in Esther as a niece. He looked up, and she was taken away from him. He was a great Talmud Chacham, but how can I portray it to you? Can you imagine Shir Bari, Rav Eliashiv, who was one of the greatest Talmid HaChachamim of the Dor, takes a stool and goes and sits outside a woman's house, a harem, and starts crying in Sakva Efa and saying Tehillim. You can't imagine a more pitiful sight in the world. What this great, great man, this Talmid Chacham, he was one of the greatest Talmid HaChachamim in the world, sits by the Beis HaNoshim crying over his people, wearing sackcloth ephah. You can't imagine a more unfortunate sight in the world. In the end, b'roisam yachad treles Mordechai. In the end, he switched places. That's a boruch. You must wait until the end. The lesson of Shoshanas Yaakov is to appreciate what it means, an oru and a boruch, you must have patience. You must wait to see at the end what develops. You think the man is all-powerful. He ended up on a piece of string. You take a look and say, what a pitiful sight, this great Talmud Chacham. He ended up becoming Treles Mordechai. He took the place of Haman. That, says the Gaon, is the definition of the meaning of Oru or Boruch, the end, to see how it turns out. To show you in a little bit more detail, turn over and look at the last page, and I want to learn through with you a similar example of this. Medrash Rabbah, I'm sorry, it's so marked here. It's an old Medrash, so it's not printed so well. Okay. The Medrash at the end of Bereishis, the end of Parshas Vayeshev. Just look at this. V'loi zocha sar ha-mashkim. The sar ha-mashkim never remembered Yosef. Says the Pasuk, sar ha-mashkim shochecho. The sar ha-mashkim forgot Yosef. O babani lo eshkacheko. Sad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't forget you, Yosef. Look at this Medrash. Ladies, this Medrash you can put under your pillows at night, and it's a phenomenal Medrash. Mi haya mechake, who would ever have anticipated la Avram b'sara, these two old age pensioners, shehayuz kenim sheyolad lehem ben, who would ever imagine that these old age pensioners would ever have a son? Mi mechake le Yaakov, who would ever have anticipated, and what are the odds of Yaakov Avinu, she'ova b'makla hayardein, she'yifroitz v'yashir, and he'll become a multimillionaire when he left Lavan's house, but when he got there, everything he gave over to Eliphaz just to save his life. He gave him so he had, all he had was a stick. He had nothing. When he left Lavan's house, he was phenomenally wealthy. Mi haya mechake le'Yosef, who would ever have thought that Yosef, that he went through so many difficulties. Come on. The odds are it's 99 to 1. He becomes a melech. If you would have taken a look at him in the pit, no, come on. If you would have taken a look at Yosef in the Beit HaSor, in the prison, nah. He's a nobody. He's a nobody. He became the melech. Who would ever, if you would have been standing by the river when Moshe was put inside the river, would you have ever turned around and thought that he'll turn out to be what he turned out to be? Who would ever have anticipated that Rus, it's not actually true, because she was not Jewish and not non-Jewish. Machlon and Chilion had not properly converted them. So she couldn't go back home when they died because she was half Jewish. She couldn't go into Klal Yisrael because she wasn't properly converted. She was 40 years old. She had not a penny to her name. She was, you would say to her, you know, just, your life has come to an end. There's no future for you. But look what it says. What happened to Rus? She became the Eimah Malchus. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara brings down that, I don't really understand this Gemara because she must have been ancient. But when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he made a throne for Rus to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. She must have been a very old lady. But this not properly converted 40-year-old Almona became the most famous lady in Klal Yisrael, Rus. She sat in the base of Mikdash. She was the Eimah Malchus. Incredible. Who would ever have thought that such a woman would become what she became? Mi haya mechake leDavid, sheyiyeh melech ad sof hadoros. This young kid who was always being run after, 3,000 soldiers spent years running after him, trying to kill him with Shaul. He became the king forever. David Melech Yisrael chai v'kayom. He was cast into prison. No one ever would have thought in the time of Bayis Sheni that he would ever get out of prison. Who were thrown into the pit, into the furnace. Would you ever have thought sheyotzu mitoicha eish? Mihaya machake leBeYisrael b'yemei Haman sheyatzile makodesh. Would you ever have thought that this all-powerful ruler Haman, the Amaleki, with all the money and all the power, would you ever have thought that this would be there would be a savior, a Yeshua, and Purim would become the happiest day in the calendar? Would you ever think that all the Golas of Klal Yisrael, Spain and Germany, and the pogroms and Russia and the Cossacks, and Bais, and all the problems of Klal Yisrael Would you ever think that it would be l'shem u'l'tehillah when the Mashiach comes? Etc. It's a phenomenal medrash, because the medrash is telling you, in the end of the day, the bracha comes out, but you have to have patience. You have to wait it out, and that's what Shoshanath Yaakov is telling us here. Haman became an orul. And Mordechai became a Baruch. And Zeresh and Chalva, all these people, you have to look at the end to see what happened to each person before you realize exactly what, whether it's an Oro, you don't know. You have to wait and see. You would never have thought that Avom and Sar would be a Baruch, and yet they became the fathers of Klal Yisrael. You would never have thought that Rus would ever have any future. She became the Emma Malchus. In other words, you have to wait, and you have to wait. You need the patience. And Shoshanas Yaakov is telling us that wait and see whether it's a Baruch, because you must wait and see what happens. If you walk around Eretz Yisrael and you take a look at the old city and you see the mosque there, you turn around and you say, no, it's the end. It's not the end. You have to wait. It's Hashem. There's a delay. There's a delay by Mashiach. It's true. It's a long delay. But in the end, it'll turn out to be a Baruch. And that's what the Mimachaka is showing us here. There's a bocha, there's a maima chazal rabbeisai, which says, Ein habrocha motzui, ela bedovo hasomui mina ayin. You only find a brocha from something which is completely hidden from the eye. And that's the nakuda here. Going through the whole scene in Shushan, or going through any of these scenes that we brought down, Yosef in Mitzrayim or Moshe, it's so hidden, you don't see the bracha. But that's the nature of the bracha. You don't realize that the bracha will materialize, and eventually, with patience and tefillah, it turns into a baruch, and you never realized it. I suppose every parent feels that with a child. You see the child when they're young, and you think, what's going to happen with this child? Will they ever get married? Will they ever have children? Will they ever? You don't realize. With tefillah and with siyata d'shmaya, the child ends up with a home of their own, imitz Hashem, and things move, and things change. And with a lot of siyata d'shmaya, it turns into a bolt which you never anticipated. That's the third lesson which comes out of Megillas Esther, or Shoshanas Yaakov. An orul and a boruch needs patience to see how it will develop in the end. It's late, and I don't want to keep you too long, but I must just go into the last theme of Shoshanas Yaakov. These are the themes which really one must take out. Shoshanas Yaakov in Achoichim, Tcheles Mordechai, Chuosom is the Teskes of Bitochen, Lohidia is the Koyach of Tfilah, the pitchfork, and the Oru and the Boruch all switch. You just need to wait and see what happens. You're not allowed to leave Shul on Purim until you said Shoshanas Yaakov. In most places they sing it out with great gusto. It needs a lot of kavona, because these are the lessons we take out of Megillas Esther. You don't just take out the banging of Haman or the Esther with her pretty face. You have to get to the point. And this removes all the shtick. It moves all the points which you don't see in the Megillah. And these points are the points which need. And that, says Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, is the main reason why we say Shoshanas Yaakov. Because Shoshanas Yaakov gives us the right focus, what you're looking at and what you're listening to behind the scene of what's going on in the Megillah. But I'd like to end with a passage from Koheles. Because one of the biggest problems people face when it comes to Purim is, how do I get happy? Because you think it's Shikha getting happy, you think it's getting dressed up is being happy, and the Simcha of Purim gets lost. I'm looking at the clock, I think we'll leave the Koheles. Okay, I don't want to keep you. I've been told I must finish on. All right, no one's throwing anything at me, so let's. In Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech asks this question. Amalti ani belibi. Listen to these words, because it needs a lot of concentration. What is Simcha? In Koheles, in Peirut Beis, said Shlomo HaMelech, I'm going to investigate. What is Simcha? Koheles Perik Beis. I'm going to try it out and I'll see what is the real vanity, what is the essence of simcha. And I'm going to read out, look at these psukim. L'shoik amalti, is it just laughter? No, it's not just laughter. Tati b'libi l'mshoich b'yayin. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drink. People say that drinking brings a lot of happiness. V'libi, and I'm going to retain with my chochma. V'libi noyheg b'chochma. I'm not going to get so shikha. But if simcha comes from drinking, let's try it out. Higdalti ma'asai bonisili botim. So I built myself beautiful homes. Maybe simcha comes from beautiful homes. Notati li kromim, or vineyards, beautiful gardens. Or sisili gano supardesim, notati lobem eitzperi. Does simcha come from having beautiful gardens? Or sisili brechos maim, I made beautiful pools. Yad, tzomech, eitzim, beautiful forests. Konisi, maybe simcha comes from avodim, ushvoches, bnei bayis. Boko, but so in harbe, I had it all. Konastini, maybe people think simcha comes from kesev, zov, uskulas melochim, and king's treasury. Or sincerely shorim b'shorais, I had orchestras and quintets and music, and I had all that. But ta'anugas b'nei adam, shido b'shidois. You know what shido b'shidois is? A Rolls Royce and a Lexus. Top quality transport. It means wagons and carriages and the best of cars. Godalti v'hoisapti, and everything I did. I didn't stop. I tried everything. Mikol simcha ki libi samech. What is simcha? And then pasuk 11, he suddenly turns around. Ufonisi ani mikol maasai she'osu. And I suddenly realize vihine. He has 3 points where he tells you it's all a hevel. Number one, vihine hakol hevel. It means that. If you think that it means having a beautiful home from heaven, but it's just a vanity. It's not it's a distraction. Hevel means it's a distraction. It's not the real happiness. If you take away the house, so I'm not happy. So it can't be real simcha. Ru'us ruach, or it's a passion. If a person has a tremendous desire for smoking, or a tremendous passion for immorality, or a passion, it's a ru'us, because the passion goes. And once the passion goes, so the happiness goes, it can't be happiness. V'ein yisroin. And the third thing is, there's nothing there. It's nothing. It's not real simcha. It's like a movie. You watch a movie and you think the movie is so good, but in reality there's nothing there. It's just fiction. It's just pictures on a screen. It's not happiness. It's just a distraction. So what is happiness? What is the nature of happiness? For that, we need to go to the halacha, which is so much abused when it comes to Purim. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch of getting shikha. We must look for a definition. What is simcha? What is the nature of simcha that we must follow when it comes to Purim? Everybody knows this halacha, but let's Tov Reish Tzadik Hei, the Shulchan Aruch. We've explained that it's not drink, but what is it then? What do we must look for when we get shikha? And what is the nature of simcha that we must try and find on Purim? In Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Reish Tzadik Hei, the halacha says, Chayev inesh levesumei bepuraya. A person is duty bound to get shikha on Purim. Adelo yoda bein oru homan on Baruch Mordechai. So you'll say that the happiness of Purim comes from getting shikha. How can that be? Are you trying to tell me that and the Halacha brings down, and the Shulchan Mishnevuah brings down, just by getting shikha, and shikha brings you into happiness? For this, we need, the key is in the Mishnevuah. The Chofetz Chaim says as follows, Vihine, this is the key to the simcha of pulling out exactly what we're rejoicing over on Purim. Vihine, koidem shenishtake, the Chofetz Chaim, before you'd get shikha on Purim, nosan bevadai, Toida Lashem, that you gave thanks to Hashem al shtei hatoivos, on these two toivos. What does it mean? What is the Chofetz Chaim telling us? It means like this. It's not the dricker, it's not the liquor, it's not the fancy dress. Those are all the means to find the simcha. But the real simcha is the appreciation and the thanks to Hashem on these two. What are the two toivos? Bein oru homan le baruch Mordechai. It means I don't know in my mind which is the greater event of which I'm thanking Hashem. Is it the downfall of this tremendously powerful man, or is it the rise of this wonderful tzaddik? L'chaim. Another l'chaim. And another l'chaim. Until I don't, which is greater? Which is the greater miracle? And what must I thank Hashem more for? Says the Chofetz Chaim, Va'al kein omu, shelo yafsik shevach al ze besimcha. Ad sheyova lidei kach, until a person reaches a point, shelo yavchin, you can't distinguish out of your happiness to Hashem, ma bein toiva zu lezu. Which is greater? It's all in the mind. It's all a halel to Hashem. That's where the simcha lies. The simcha does not lie in the drink, in the music, in the ponds, in the pools, in the gardens, in everything. It lies in one's relationship with Hashem, in the halel, the praise that I think, goodness me, Klal Yisrael are going through this again with Ahmadinejad and the Persia and Iran. We're going through it again. What is the lesson that I must take out this year specifically from Purim? It's that Hashem will bring out the Yeshua for us. And what will be the greatest Yeshua? Is it the downfall of this Russia with all his nuclear plants? Or is it the rise of Bnei Torah, of people who sit and keep to the Torah and mitzvahs? And that is what's going to be. That is the outcome. The Mashiach will come, and we will drink alachayim and drink and see that. And that simcha which will come, it's a boluch, you need patience. It'll come, it'll unfold. That is where the real happiness lies, when one puts one's heart and one's thoughts into the focus of my relationship with Hashem and my thanks to Hashem for what I have. The Hoidah is there. Maybe, just as a reference, a remez, maybe that's what David HaMelech means in Perek Kuf Mem Beis in Tehillim. We've mentioned it on a previous occasion, but Perek Kuf Maskil David BeYosef Amor Tefila, the Sipona learns out, is talking about our times. Ikvas de Meshicha. Koili El Hashem Ezok, Koili El Hashem Ezchanon. It's the call of Tefillah in the times of Ikvah. It was David inside the cave when he was running away from Shaul, but it's also a Ruach HaKodesh, as the Sipono, of the times just before the Mashiach will come. Habeit Yominu Re'ei Ve'ein Limakir. No one in the world is there to help Klal Yisrael. Ovad Monos Mimeni. No one will help us. Zoakti Elecho Hashem Omarti. I called and I said, Hashem, listen to me. This is where the simcha is, my connection with Hashem. Hakshiva erinosi, I'm calling out to you now. Rabbeisai, the last pasuk. Hoitzia mimasker nafshi. I saw in one of the mefarshim. Roshe teivos. Hoitzia mimasker nafshi. Homon. Take me out of this straitjacket. I feel so restricted. Take me out of this homon. Take me out of this problem of my people. Hoitzia mimaske nafshi, take me away from a homon. It means from the persecution and the anti-Semitism which my people face. For what reason? David doesn't want a relief just in order to be an easy life. Lahoidos eshemecha, to thank you, Hashem. To my simcha comes from my thanking you. That's where my simcha comes. My connection to you and my devekus to Hashem. Bi yachtiru tzadikim. In me, people will praise. Ki sigmoil oloi. For you pay me back for waiting. There's the word gemul again. You'll pay me for waiting for you, and that will be my praise. David HaMelech is saying that in the times of the Mashiach, it'll be like a homon. Hoitzia is a washei teves homon. And Klal Yisrael will reach the point of simcha when they realize lahoidos, to thank Hashem and to be connected to the Almighty, and that through prayer and Torah and mitzvahs, that's where the simcha lies, and that's the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch here. When the Shulchan Aruch says to get shika bein oru homan abaluch mordach, what does he mean? I don't know which is the greater nes, which is the, and that's what the Chofetz Chaim means. Which is the greater miracle, the downfall of the rosh or the rise of the tzaddik? And in that I find my simcha. The shika, the yayin yasamach levavenosh, the wine makes you happy and it lifts you up your spirits, but not so that you're in the point of intoxication and you're in a stupor and you don't understand what you're doing. That's not the happiness. The happiness is in the connection of realizing how great the miracle was of all the points that we brought out here, of the Shoshanas Yaakov, the Tchelas Mordechai, the Tefillah, the Bitochen, the Koyach of Tefillah, that the Boruch turns out to be a Boruch and the Orel turns out to be an Orel. That's why Purim is L'dayreis. That's the message behind Purim. The greatness of the Hoidor, of the thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what's being alluded to in Perek Kuf Mem Beis. These are some of the points which I hope will help in your concentration, your focus when it comes to Purim. I wish you all a Feilich and Purim. Thank you for coming, and we'll see you in the future. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Yes. Yeah, any questions? Yes, of course. Where? Oh, you'd like to know? I'll tell you what I mean. I was talking about shtick, and people do shtick. And I was going to be.